Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we're doing a 10-minute explainer series for the end of the show during the membership drive through Thursday. And for today's explainer, we're going to talk about weather forecasting. Whether you check a weather app, turn on the morning news, or tune into WNYC before you step outside, weather forecasts obviously supply that information or do their best to supply it. But what does it actually take to predict the near-term future of weather? Joining me now to shed some light on weather forecasting is Sally Ann Mosey. You can see her on New York One and other tri-state media outlets. Thanks for coming on, Sally Ann. Welcome to WNYC.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And, you know, one of the reasons that we thought of this is because after Hurricane Ida, we realized we were talking so much more about climate than about weather on this show, because this is an issue-oriented show, and we were looking at the underpinnings of why storms like that are happening more frequently in our area, but made us realize we sometimes take daily forecasts for granted. So let's start on forecasting the really big storm, hurricane or another really big storm, when you really have people's attention. What goes into predicting how hard a hurricane will hit?
There are several factors, Brian, and I guess I should start with saying, you know, we don't wait for that big storm to come before we follow what's happening in the atmosphere. There are trends, and as meteorologists, we all say the trend is your friend, and it is. It helps you predict which computer models are actually performing the way they should. Now, there are several computer models that are out there. For me, my go-tos are the GFS, which is your global forecast model, the European, the NAM, the National North American model. These are the ones that I go to daily. And you look at them and you compare the different levels of the atmosphere and what the temperatures come in for them, so you could get an idea of what kind of precipitation may be coming down. So there's a lot to it, and the computer models can perform differently. That's what makes it such a challenging job. And while it is a science, it's not an exact science, and that's where it gets more difficult to predict. But when you know the area that you're predicting for and that you're forecasting for, you become a better forecaster. So the longer that you've been in an area, the better you are at predicting how the mountains may affect it, like when a system comes over the Poconos and things like that. And in the case of a hurricane, Superstorm Sandy was a perfect example. The computer models were actually showing us coming our way from off the water. And quite frankly, I had been a forecaster for years at that point. You almost didn't believe it. It was hard to fathom. So yeah, computer models are the go-tos for the big ones for sure, but you just can't wait until that day or days before. We follow it day in and day out.
And it's interesting about there being different computer models, and I guess that applies to micro weather forecasting as well. So for example, I went upstate this past weekend leaf peeping and was trying to decide on Saturday, okay, when am I going to go out? In the area that I was, there was rain in the forecast. And I have two different weather apps on my phone. And one of them said it's going to start raining within the hour. And the other one said it's going to start raining in about 2 hours. Why does that happen?
Well, first of all, can I just say, I think it's great that folks use apps. I certainly use them myself. I am the mother of four, and we go to, we had a big soccer game on Saturday, Seton Hall soccer, my son's playing for. And I, like you, was paying attention to everything I could to find out how much weather gear I should bring, quite frankly. And I came ready for the worst. And it worked out that where we were in Queens, because it was against St. John's, it ended up being in a spot that did not get as much precipitation as a lot of the computer models were suggesting areas just to the north and west were going to get. So yeah, there are other more detailed mesoscale, as we call them in meteorology, models to look at to predict thunderstorms within a small radius, several miles wide. So, yeah, you do have to know your apps, Brian. let me encourage you to use the New York One app that really takes care of the five boroughs wonderfully.
When the apps these days get so specific to your neighborhood, like, you know, I can get a forecast for Inwood, or I can get a forecast for Washington Heights, the next neighbor down, mm-hmm. neighborhood down in Upper Manhattan. How do they get that precise?
That is a computer modeling, quite frankly, and it really is like I said to you, it's a science, but it's an inexact science. So what we're really gauging our perspectives on are where that stream of moisture in the upper level of the atmosphere will land. So sometimes, I know it's happened for myself, the soccer fields are not that far from our home, a few miles away. It could be pouring there and the game is called off and I'm at home going, why'd they call off the game? So that is the most difficult part about forecasting, is trying to get it within a few miles. And really, quite frankly, you can't. You do your best. And that is why sometimes people, when they hear something like, there's a 30% chance of rain, and somebody would say, oh, but it didn't rain in my area, their forecast was wrong. But in 70% of the area, it did. It was more widespread. So we give percentages kind of based on what the chances are where you will be.
You work for a few different news stations, I see. I see you on New York One. I guess you're on some other places, too. Can you explain if different news directors ask for different kinds of weather coverage from somebody like you?
That's funny that you say that. Well, actually, yes, without a doubt. What comes to mind is not my New York example, but I was working in Pennsylvania and in the Philadelphia station in that market. And one of the news directors who had hailed from New York at one point was now working in Philadelphia. And he actually, if you would say there was a chance of, let's say, 2 to 6 inches of snow, he would tell his producers, this is what you need to tease. There could be half a foot of snow where? Now, that was the extreme part of it. The same news director also liked the idea and subscribed to a service that provided a weathercast 365 days out.
What?
Really? I know. It was crazy. But he did that as a way to get the viewers, he felt, would be interested as they're planning their weddings and they're planning their future endeavors, to be able to at least access through that station a way of having an idea of what the weather might be on that particular date. Needless to say, we as meteorologists, the team of meteorologists there, really didn't love that idea or embrace it, but he was the news director. And so we used it for a short time before the people, viewers speak, you know.
Yeah. Do you have a curve?
That news director wasn't there long.
Sort of a curve on how accurate the 7-day forecast tends to be, let's say 3 days out compared to 4 days out compared to a full 7 days out?
Well, you know, Brian, it's funny because I've been doing this over 25 years, and the progress made in the computer modeling has improved significantly. So, in other words, it's improved by about a day, a decade. So the 5-day forecast today is about as accurate as a 3-day forecast was back in the 90s. Huh. So it has improved. There is no doubt about that. But certainly the closer you get to the day, the more accurate it's going to be.
All right. We've got like 15 seconds left. Last question. When you say there's a 50% chance of rain, why don't you just say, we don't know?
Because we do know that a front is crossing. And that's our way of saying that, listen, moisture should be coming. And it's not exactly a we don't know.
And you know that 50% of the time in the past, under these conditions, it would have rained. Sally Ann Mosey, you can see her on New York One and other tri-state media outlets as a meteorologist. Thank you so much. This was fun.
Thank you.